Jeremy Fowler is the only one this entire time that I saw mentioned possible teams interested in Micah Parsons and working a deal out with the Cowboys. Well, this morning, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, along with a friend of the show, Don Van Natta, dropped the big article inside the Cowboys' decision to trade Micah Parsons. And Jeremy is joining us on the Home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jeremy. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
What was the breaking point in all of this, in your opinion?
So it sounds like the breaking point was March 18th, where we were able to detail what Cowboys sources claimed was a negotiation directly with Micah Parsons, driven by Parsons. They feel like, you know, Micah initiated talks. The Parsons camp vehemently disagrees with that. But it just there was no recovery from that day where Jerry locked in on believing that, hey, we have a deal with Micah and it's a take it or leave it situation. You know, where agent David Mulugeta was like, if that's the case, then we don't have a deal. And from there, it just – and, of course, Jerry has had his interpretation of how he thinks those words went. And so from there, there was really no negotiation from that point on. There was no exchanging of proposals. Wow. It was quiet. And so, you know, Dallas really just by mid-August had kind of started to move on.
Jeremy, you know a lot of agents. You've been doing this for a long time. How unusual was Jerry's approach here – of not only negotiating with Micah to the degree that he did, but also just not communicating with Mulugeta? How does this happen a little bit more often like than we think, or this stands alone?
Well, a lot of agents I've actually talked to in the last few months, particularly about this Micah Parsons situation, do say that it's a hurdle sometimes with certain teams that try to go directly to the player. But Dallas is the most frequently known offender of that. You know, it's called hot boxing, which you mentioned in the story. The team tries to get you in a box, kind of sink their teeth into the player, and then they can just cling to that. And it sort of puts the agent in a precarious spot. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think with high-profile players, with a team like Dallas moving forward, you probably have to warn your player, like, hey, this is what they're going to do, you know, if you want to warn them of that. So, but that's the thing with Dallas, I think – at least from their interpretation, this is just what they claim, but they feel like Micah's the one who made the phone call March 18th, came into the office, was almost dictating terms. That's how they painted it. So because of that, I think Jerry Jones feels either he was duped or, you know, he feels like Micah went back on his word. And they just never recovered from that point.
I know you said that there were no negotiations or formal proposals between the two sides, but tell us about a final attempt from Micah's side to approach Dallas before traded.
Yeah, it was my understanding from sources that on Tuesday, David Mulugeta, the agent for Micah Parsons, reached out directly to the Joneses in an email, just saying like something to, as it was recalled to me, something to the effect of like, hey, we're, you know, there's been a lot said in the media, probably some miscommunication out there, but despite all of that, we know he would have a robust trade market, but, you know, we're willing to do a deal. Maybe we can hammer something out. Maybe we can get together. It was basically an olive branch, like a last-ditch effort. And Jerry Jones said something to the effect of, well, you know, we've moved on and we're looking at trading him, so it's either he goes somewhere in a trade or we're back to where we were, which pretty much means it was interpreted as he would have to play on the fifth-year option. And, you know, at that point, the ball got rolling pretty quickly. Green Bay got a formal offer to Micah Parsons later that Tuesday. So at some point, everything went down that day, and then they had a couple days to negotiate a contract, which I think was pretty smooth because, you know, Mulugeta has Jordan Love and Xavier McKinney and a lot of star Packers players, so there was already a built-in respect there. So it was far easier to do than this Dallas deal was with Parsons over the last 5 months.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, with the headlining piece on the website, along with Don Van Natta, inside the Cowboys' decision to trade Micah. Jeremy, what were some of the concerns that you learned throughout the homework for this piece that Dallas had with Parsons? What were some of the things that concerned them about him?
You mean as a player yeah. inside the locker room and yeah. the building.
All the issues from the podcast to the work ethic, all of it.
Yeah, I would say nothing out of the ordinary for a star player. It wasn't a situation where he was out partying or missing meetings. I think he was a hard worker and generally a good teammate. Talking to people with the team and either coached Micah recently or have been there, they did feel like the podcast rankled some teammates. You heard Malik Hooker, I believe, spoke out on it at one point.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one that I think had a problem with it, which is the image of like, hey, we're studying game film and you're doing a podcast, you know. But players can do things on their own time. I know the front office and the coaching staff didn't have a problem with it, but I think some teammates did. And then, you know, just some people I talked to for the story said that, you know, he can be a little critical. Some of that's, you know, of teammates. Some of that can be a passion of the game type thing where he wants guys to step up. But coaches have told him before, like, hey, you're the most talented guy on the team. Not everybody's going to be able to reach that level. So you need to show some grace and lead and bring players along with you as opposed to criticizing them. So those are just some small things. You know, like the stuff about the run defense. I mean, did he play outside of structure sometimes? Yes. But a lot of star pass rushers do that.
Right.
And you pay them to do that to get sacks. So that's not really a huge issue.
Jeremy, you know, you mentioned that it was that March 18th meeting that really flipped things for Jerry and kind of set everything in motion. Looking back on all these criticisms that they now have and different things like that, do you think that's at all a case of revisionist history at all or building a case since March 18th? Or was there any sort of a push before that date from others in the organization of like, hey, we really should take a look at if we want to pay this guy?
Well, the sides did meet at the combine. You know, there's a situation where all the agents are there in Indianapolis in the hallways of hotel rooms, and you know the Cowboys have their bus in Indianapolis. So they Mulugeta and the Joneses met at some point in Dallas, or if it wasn't the Joneses, it was the Cowboys brass. And for the people we talked to seemed to come away from the combine thinking that Parsons was comfortable going last in the pass rush market, meaning like T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, Max Crosby, letting some of those deals get done and then coming and batting cleanup with a bigger number. I talked to somebody on the player side who disputed that they were open to doing a deal whenever as long as it was fair and manageable. So they talked to the combine, and then Parsons was in Abu Dhabi, I believe, in a like kind of a vacation march with some other NFL players. When he got back is when everything went down with Dallas. It was that March 18th day. And you have differing accounts as to how that went down. Dallas says that Micah called them eager to do a contract. You know, people on Parsons' side said, no, that's not true. He was getting called from Jerry about a leadership meeting, and then it steered toward contract talks. So either way, regardless, you know, however it got to talking about a contract, it did, it was discussed, you know. And Mike at that point did call his agent, got his agent involved. Jerry called the agent, and then nothing went well from there because it was just, nothing was happening. I mean, at that point, there was a fundamental disagreement. And for 4 months, you had nothing. And then the trade request. So it all seemed so silly because it was avoidable. And for whatever reason, Jerry Jones dug in on the agent part of it, where typically that's something you can work around.
Jeremy, what's the Cowboys' explanation for not dealing him before the draft?
Yeah, so I actually asked some sources specifically about that, and I was told that, A, Dallas was not in the mode of trading Micah Parsons then. Like, they knew that the March meeting didn't go well, but they let it simmer, and they still thought they could revisit it at some point. Like, they weren't thinking pre-draft, like, Parsons is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that they truly thought that until August, where, you know, one source told us that, hey, Jerry Jones might have said that trading Micah was BS publicly, but he had to kind of zig and zag there, because if you say publicly we're not trading a guy, it probably helps your leverage a little more than when you say you are trading him.
Jeremy, do you think this was a fair offer they got in return?
I actually don't think it was that bad. I mean, it's not ideal. I would say the pulse around the league is mixed reviews, kind of like if you look at a movie that's just okay, the reviews are mixed. That's how I compare it. You know, some didn't have a problem with it. They said that's probably the best you could do. It is a sliding scale with the money the new team has to pay these pass rushers. I mean, people compare the Khalil Mack trade. That was 7 years ago, I believe. his deal was like low 20s per year, like 22, 23 million a year. Mike is now at 47, so that's double the market. So a team's not going to give you four first-round picks and have to pay that. They're just not going to do it. So some make the argument that, hey, two first and Kenny Clark is actually not terrible. Others say you should have gotten more, and if you would have done it pre-draft, you could have opened things up to more teams. Dallas actually counters that. They believe fundamentally that it's better to wait after the draft to do a trade. That's just kind of their MO. Other teams disagree with that. They think it's better around draft time, but Dallas thinks, like, if you try to do a trade April 24th, teams are eager to make their picks. They don't want to give them away.
Were there other teams involved? Which other teams did they reach out to?
Yeah, we never got the full list. I know the Carolina Panthers inquired. They did not make a formal offer, but they did inquire, so they were in talks. And, you know, we heard some whispers from league circles that Micah had interest in certain teams. Green Bay was one, but, like, a little bit of Baltimore, a little bit of Kansas City, Philadelphia. But we never really – some of those teams didn't look into it, really. I know Kansas City didn't. There wasn't a lot of momentum in some of those other teams. But Carolina did look into it, and Dallas would have had reason to look into that because of Derrick Brown, you know, star defensive tackle. They were looking for those type of players, those interior D linemen. So that made some sense. But Carolina ultimately didn't want to move Brown and didn't move on that.
Jeremy, what was your other, like, big wow moment in putting this together with Don where you're like, oh, that's something that people are going to be surprised to read or hear? Was there something else that was a wow moment in here for you?
I would say just some of the commentary out of Dallas about that March 18th meeting that we were kind of able to nail down the date and the contents of it. And just how it's tough, right? Because they're painting Micah as coming in there and driving the negotiation, initiating it, which Parsons Camp disputes. But people in Dallas have a lot of details about all of that, where to the point where if they were making that up, it would be pretty elaborate, you know? So just the sheer conviction that they have that Micah did this. And I would say the guarantees in the contract north of $150 million, I thought was pretty significant. We're able to nail down that number. And, you know, that would have put him in pretty elite air. Now, that was on a five-year deal. That was kind of the problem versus a four-year deal that Micah got in Green Bay that will help his earning power over time because he's under contract for less time. And then just the, you know, some of the contents of the email they sent Jerry Jones, that he basically, from my understanding, just replied all and said, no thanks. You know, I thought that was interesting because there was, you know, they had moved on at that point. Did Parsons Camp kind of know they had moved on and that's why they emailed that day? I don't know that, but I did kind of wonder and meant to kind of get to that in the reporting. Like, why did they email him on that Tuesday? I think it was partly because the whispers of Green Bay and some of the trade stuff had kind of surfaced online a little bit at that point.
So hey, man.
It was out there, and it's like, well, hey, let's address this.
Jeremy, fantastic work. Thank you so much for joining us on short notice. Keep killing it on ESPN. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's talk about Deron Bland getting his extension. Is Trayvon Diggs playing against Philly? And let's find out more about Kenny Clark, who spoke to the media over the weekend. We do it with Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, next.